This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. And happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. I lift a Guinness in celebration of the good St. Patrick. President Trump issues additional recommendations on Monday, and stocks continue to plummet after declaring a national emergency on Friday. At a White House briefing on Monday, Trump recommended all schools to close, to limit gatherings to no more than 10 people. He called on millennials and younger folks to make extra efforts to help those in need, and the president promised financial help for the airlines. In response to a question on how long these measures might last, Trump said it could take until July or perhaps even August for it all to wash over. Trump also noted that all of this could indicate that the economy will be heading into a recession. After Trump's announcement last Friday, the stock market actually rallied late, regaining some 2,000 points. The Federal Reserve announced another emergency benchmark interest rate cut on Sunday, slashing rates to near zero. But many read those announcements as signals of desperation, and so Monday brought another sharp drop on Wall Street, triggering yet another 15-minute circuit breaker pause in trading just minutes after markets opened, after another 7% plunge. And the market closed ultimately on Monday, dropping nearly 3,000 points on the day. This is now the third time the circuit breaker has been triggered in recent days. Meanwhile, Brent crude, the global gauge of crude prices, fell 11% to $30.05 a barrel, its lowest level since January 2016. Oil prices have lost more than half their value since the start of the year as investors have grown concerned about waning demand for energy, including, perhaps most particularly, jet fuel. Gunjan Banerjee and Gregory Zuckerman at Wall Street Journal report that it's not just the coronavirus causing the stock market volatility. Many investment firms manage their investment funds with preset algorithms that make computerized trades based on a series of inputs, including various volatility indicators on the market. Monday's fall of nearly 3,000 points in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or more than 12%, marked the second worst day in its 124-year history. But those reasons don't fully explain the remarkable volatility of the markets. Since the mid-February market peak, the Dow Industrials have closed more than 1,000 points lower on six trading days and rebounded at least 1,000 points four times. Adding to those moves and potentially hastening them are these technical factors that have little to do with how investors feel about the outlook for companies, earnings, or the broader economy. In a dramatic shift since the financial crisis a number of years ago, the market today is dominated by computer-driven investors whose machines react to a series of technical and other factors, as well as by more traditional investors who rely on reams of fast-flowing data. On many days, forces such as the market's volatility and momentum, derivatives activity, and market's liquidity, how easy or difficult it is to get in and out of trades, can help drive trading. In earlier times, when trading was dominated by fundamental investors who scoured balance sheets, studied goods prices, and tried to reckon a company's future profits, market volatility figured into it to some extent, but not in any defined way. Now, for many traders, a stock is simply a thing that moves, whether the company makes shoes or airplanes or frozen pizza, and how much a stock moves, how sudden and sharp are its swings, is a factor as important as any other in whether to buy or sell the share. On Friday, various momentum inputs directed investors to buy shares late in the day when the market began to climb, buying by these algorithmic investors alongside other investors' bullishness or hedging sent the Dow Industrials up nearly 2,000 points or 9.4% in its biggest one-day percentage gain since 2008, traders pointed out. Most of the move happened in the last 30 minutes, a concentrated burst that drove the index up over 1,400 points. But all this calls into question whether the 15-minute circuit breaker is really doing anything at all. The 15-minute circuit breaker seems to presuppose human actors, human factors, human feelings about the market, and so forth. They need to take a deep breath. If it's humans buying and selling, they may need to have a 15-minute catch your breath, think about this before proceeding. But if most of these trades are driven by computerized algorithms, it's unclear whether a 15-minute break does anyone much good at all. Amazon is doing what Christian businesses should be doing. Again, the Wall Street Journal reports Amazon.com Incorporated plans to hire an additional 100,000 employees in the U.S. as millions of people turn to online deliveries at an unprecedented pace, and Americans continue to reorient their lives to limit the spread of the new coronavirus. Amazon plans to deploy the new workers to fuel its sprawling e-commerce machine and is raising pay for all employees in fulfillment centers, transportation, stores, and deliveries in the U.S. and Canada by $2 an hour through April. In the U.K., it will go up £2, $2.45 per hour, and approximately €2 an hour in many EU countries, according to the company. Amazon now pays $15 per hour as a starting wage to workers in its fulfillment centers around the U.S. The tech giant's decision to go on a hiring spree and boost worker pay shows the dual challenge companies such as Amazon face as they seek to meet surging demand for food and key household items and also take care of employees at the front lines of the pandemic. Amazon employed nearly 800,000 full and part-time employees as of December 31st. Countries around the world this week have taken more drastic measures to contain the spread of the virus, closing schools for tens of millions of children and ordering citizens to stay home except for essential functions. President Trump advised Americans to avoid bars and restaurants and gathering in groups larger than 10. France has announced a lockdown. San Francisco has ordered residents to stay home. As learning and e-commerce and work all shift to at-home settings, Amazon's move to add to its ranks highlights another way the crisis has forced change upon businesses and markets. Large, well-capitalized companies such as Amazon are moving to meet an extraordinary uptick in orders. Slack Technologies Incorporated and Microsoft Core are seeing interest in their collaborative work platforms as well. Amazon is big enough and powerful enough and decisive enough to take up a significant amount of the slack being caused by all the shutdowns, said Mark Cohen, a former chief executive of Sears Canada Incorporated and director of retail studies at Columbia University's Business School. This is an enormous engine of distribution that has been growing for many years and investing ahead of its own needs. Schools are turning quickly to online educational portals that have never been used at such an extensive scale. Broadband use in some areas has been swamped as many turn to home networks for work and entertainment streaming. Long-standing conventions for entertainment have been temporarily abandoned, such as waiting periods for films and theaters to become available digitally. Comcast Corp. Universal Pictures said Monday it's making certain movies that are still in theaters available to watch at home starting Friday. More customers are turning to online shopping for everything from grocery delivery to paper towels, cleaning supplies, and daily needs. Amazon, which also owns grocery store chain Whole Foods, was one of the companies Mr. Trump mentioned Sunday during his update on the coronavirus outbreak. Amazon accounts for 39% of all online orders in the U.S., according to eMarketer, and is shouldering a lot of those needs. We are seeing a significant increase in demand, which means our labor needs are unprecedented for this time of year, said Dave Clark, Amazon's senior vice president of operations, in a memo reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. All of this should come to Christians as a wake-up. Amazon can do it. Of course, they're big. They have the resources. They have the funds. But Christians, we were made for this moment. We were made to see needs and seek to meet them, especially if you are out of work, especially if your work is being cut. These are opportunities for Christians to see these needs and meet them. Meanwhile, states and churches debate and discuss what measures make sense. Social media has been ablaze with a number of debates and discussions, many related to medical questions about COVID-19, others related to panic, governmental jurisdictions, and questions about the fallout of various decisions on all fronts. And Christians really must be people of wisdom, which means we have to be able to watch a number of different things at once. And yes, that's hard. Someone who demands that you only be concerned about one thing is counseling folly. So, for example, the folks who are only worked up about the spread of a potentially dangerous virus and regard all other questions or concerns as distractions really are part of the problem. And folks who think that this could only be a Democrat conspiracy to destabilize Trump's presidency and impose communist controls on the country are also part of the problem. But this doesn't mean that neither one have a point. Related would be those who are asking questions about the fallout of shutting down massive parts of the country. How many deaths will result from those decisions? How many medical breakthroughs will be lost? How many paychecks will be lost? How many less essential medical procedures will be delayed or canceled? And what will the downstream effects of all of those be? Of course, it's perfectly reasonable to address the problems right in front of you first. And it's certainly true that you cannot anticipate all of the variables and outcomes of every decision. But the same variables are at work in the spread of COVID-19 and its potential fatality rate. The rates we are all seeing are simply sample sizes that may or may not represent a full or accurate picture. And therefore, we are at the mercy of our leaders to make the wisest judgments they can, given the information at their disposal. And the Christian instinct is rightly to submit to our civil magistrates when it comes to matters of public safety. This is one of their God-given duties to protect. But there is also a terrible precedent in our country, and in many others, of ceding authority and power to the government during times of crisis. During the years of World War II and the rise of the Cold War following, the federal government in America expanded its powers and influence considerably. Again, following 9/11, Americans watched more of their freedom swallowed up by the Patriot Act. And even as President Trump vows various and sundry bailouts for airlines and Congress passes a quadrillion dollar bill that pays for everything. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's all it says. It's just a blank check for everything. Which, to put it very bluntly, is a goddamn shame. It's a goddamn shame because it's a claim at godhood. It's a claim at divinity. When Congress or President or Supreme Court stands up and does what only God can do, that is wicked, and it should be condemned to hell. Many of us have been praying that God would humble Trump, not because we want his presidency destroyed, but because we understand that to be the only way for his presidency to actually be truly blessed. Trump has the kind of backbone that could do great good, and he has done good in withstanding quite a bit of evil. But he needs to bow his stiff neck before Christ and lead our nation in repentance. Right on schedule, Corrine Ramey reports from the Wall Street Journal that the governors of California and New York are proposing significant expansions of state regulatory power over consumer financial services. The expanded state agencies, the Democratic governors say, would help compensate for what they see as a lack of enforcement by the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB. President Obama and congressional Democrats created the CFPB in the wake of the last financial crisis to have the government control more of your life. Well, what I mean is help consumers harmed by problems involving mortgages and other consumer finance products, which is media speak, politics speak for here, let the government control your life. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has proposed expanding the Department of Financial Services in order to monitor Wall Street. Mr. Cuomo's proposal would allow the DFS to seek larger financial penalties and expand its ability to investigate alleged consumer fraud. It would mean the expansion of an already aggressive agency into a totally new realm, said Joel Cohen, a partner at law firm Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, LLP. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom proposed expanding and renaming the Department of Business Oversight, which oversees banks, securities brokers, investment advisors, and other financial services. His proposal would increase the agency's $103 million budget by at least $19.3 million and add 90 positions to its total of nearly 600 within the next few years. Notice this contrast, people. Amazon in the free market, and those of us who have businesses and opportunities looking for opportunities to grow to meet actual needs. Here you have governments, state governments, governors grasping for more power who will you look to? Will you look to God, who governs the free market, or will you look to presidents and governors and legislators who are trying to be God? Who will you look to? While we must use a great deal of care when declaring which historical events are the judgments of God and what those judgments are for, we are still nevertheless required by God to discern the times and not play dumb. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is a calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Amos 3:6. In fact, we're told very plainly in Romans 1 that sodomy itself is a judgment of God. It is what God gives nations over to. It's not merely that sodomy and lesbianism might get you in trouble with God. No, Paul says that sodomy and lesbianism are the end of the road, the bottom of the trash barrel. Congratulations, we're already under the judgment of God. We already have been given over to that kind of insanity. And in response to the terrible consequences of seeking the wisdom of man, of worshiping the wisdom of man, we have only insisted on having more of it. God have mercy. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all the others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitic.com or fightlaughfeast.com. We're on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. And for a limited time, you can get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt. You can't get these anywhere else except by becoming a member or upgrading your membership while supplies last. You're also getting access to tons of quarantine content, including most recently a new series called Pastors and Politics, with three episodes so far, including Dan Fisher, Douglas Wilson, Roger Skeppel, Pat Perkins, and George Grant. Plus hours more with David French, Eric Erickson, Walter Williams, Maj Touré, Kurt Kennedy, Gary DeMar, and our very own Worldview Shotgun series. You also will get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, where we hope to meet many of you in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to FightLaughFeast.com to register now. Have a great day.